Now let's continue on in chapter 5. Chapter 5 is quite a chapter, and it tells about the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Now God is more than fair. Look at what he says in spite of all of their sins, because one man could make a difference if he would really help the people. Chapter 5, verse 1. Run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem and see now and know, and seek in her open places, if you can find a man. If there is one who does justice, who seeks the truth, I will pardon her. One. So, brethren, I want you to understand how important it is for the churches of God to stick to the truth. And we're going to see that we're headed for a great, great deal of trouble. Okay? Even though they swear by the Lord, they do it falsely. Okay? Verse 3. O Lord, are not your eyes on the truth? You have stricken them, but they have not grieved. That's exactly where we are today with this nation. How many more things do we need to be stricken with? You have destroyed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than rock, and they have refused to return. Truly a foolish people. Yes, indeed. Down here to verse 7. How shall I pardon you for this? Your children have forsaken me and have sworn by them that are not gods. When I fed them to the full, then they committed adultery and gathered themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. Yes, sex and entertainment and music and wine and drugs and all of that. Yes, any kind of sex is good. Free sex is good. Oh, yes. No. God says it is evil. It is evil. God says, verse 8, they were like lusty, well-fed stallions in the morning, everyone neighing after his neighbor's wife. Shall I not punish for these things, says the Lord, and shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Go up upon her walls and destroy. But do not make a full end. Take away her branches, for they are not the Lord's. For the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very deceitfully against me, says the Lord. Both. They have lied against the Lord and have said, it is not he, neither shall evil come on us, nor shall we see sword nor famine. But all of those things are coming. And why is that? What we're doing, we're reading and coming up to one of the final judgments against God in Jerusalem. Because, you see, Jeremiah preached this for 40 years. But did they listen? No, no. All right. Verse 10, chapter 6. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Yes. Behold, their ears are not circumcised, they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is to them a reproach, and they have no delight in it. How do you think it would go over if you went up to someone at Christmas time and told them, what you're doing is evil? You'd probably be arrested for harassment. All right, now come over here to verse 13. Here's why. For everyone, not just some, not just most, but everyone, from the least of them to the greatest of them, is greedy for gain. And from the prophet even unto the priest, everyone deals falsely. Yes, they have the word of God, but they lie, misinterpret. They have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people, slightly saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? What is same-sex marriage and same-sex practices but abominations? We've already covered that, haven't we? Yes, we have. No, they were not ashamed at all, nor could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among those who fall. At the time that I punish them, they shall be cast down. Thus says the Lord. He gives them another chance of repentance. Stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. No, indeed. Also I have set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the ram's horn. But they said, we will not hearken. We've had financial warnings, educational warnings, governmental warnings, security warnings, terror warnings, war warnings, droughts and flood and destruction and tornadoes and hurricanes. Yes, we will build it up again. Yes, we will lower the taxes. Yes, we will do this and that and the other thing. But none of them say return to God. Return to the old paths. Return to what is right. Now notice what God says. Verse 18. Therefore hear, you nations, house of Israel and house of Judah. And know, O congregation, that's us, what will happen to them. Now I want you to notice how he starts this out. Verse 19. Hear, O earth. Now, when God says the heavens and the earth, that's telling you he means business. Now, the highest priority of God keeping his word is swearing by himself. Then the next priority is that he calls heaven and earth against us. And the next priority is the earth. Hear, O earth, I will bring evil upon this people. How? By other people, terrorists, drug dealers, liars, cheats, thieves, because we refuse to keep the way of God. Even the fruit of their thoughts, and that's a lot, isn't it? Not just our actions or thoughts. Is that not what God judged the people on before the flood? Yes, indeed. Now, what do you think he's going to judge the church on? Our thoughts and our works, is that not correct? How are we doing? How are we overcoming? How are we yielding to God? Do we truly, truly love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and being? Oh, yes, we want our sins forgiven through the crucifixion and death of Jesus Christ and his shed blood. But are we willing to stand for the truth even if we lose our life for Christ? Really? We're coming to it. We're coming closer every day. Let's read on. Fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened to my words nor to my law, but have rejected it. All right. Now you can read all the other chapters here. This is really something. 40 years, Jeremiah was speaking to them. Remember what God said about the Christmas tree? Jeremiah 10? Yes, indeed. Now let's come to Jeremiah 19. Let's see what Jeremiah had to do. Jeremiah 19. Now this is as direct a warning as you can get. Verse 1, Jeremiah 19. Thus says the Lord, go and get a potter's earthen jar and assemble some of the elders of the people and the elders of the priest, the two responsible for teaching and leading the people. Right? Yes. And go out into the valley of the son of Hinnom by the entry of the potsherd gate, and there declare the words that I shall tell you and say, hear the word of the Lord, O King of Judah and people of Jerusalem. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring evil upon this place, which the ears of him who hears it shall tingle. That's the message that has to go to the world today. They must know the judgments of God are coming. because they have forsaken me and have profaned this place and have burned incense to other gods, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah, and have filled this place with the blood of innocents. Now, what is the blood of innocents? Abortion. Only they had post-birth abortion and sacrifice to Moloch. Think about it. Since 1973, there have been close to 60 million abortions here in America alone, and perhaps close to 100 million worldwide, maybe even more. Only God knows. Did you see the clips of the interview with the director of Planned Parenthood? As she was eating her salad and drinking her wine and talking to those that she thought were representing a company seeking to buy the body parts of those poor little innocent children that they aborted. And she talked nonchalantly about saving a heart, saving a liver. Oh, and yes, the head is an important thing too. Yes, and they sold them. Oh, but we did it for a good purpose. Well, God created that baby for a better purpose. And its heart, and its lungs, and its head, and its mind, and its limbs were special for that baby that God formed and created. Think about it. And this has been going on for years. And think of how they try and justify it. But Planned Parenthood, if you look very closely at the emblem that they have, it is in fact a broken uterus, because they kill and destroy, because the women do not want to quit having sexual relations. And the men, as we read, are like what? Stallions well fed. Yes, the entertainment, the music, the drugs, the sex, all of this together. God sees, God knows, God understands, God hears the cries of those poor innocents as they rip them apart to abort them from the safety of their mother's womb. Don't you think God is going to visit that expose? I am convinced God led those people to do this, to find it, to catch them in their sins and their lies, to see. What will we do as a people? Will that cause them to repent and return to God? No, no way. They want their entertainment, they want their sex, they want their drugs, and if they're not into that, then they want all of their Sabbath-breaking activities, all of their occult holiday activities. They despise the Sabbath. They despise God's holy days and Passover. And they despise God and stand there and shove their fist up in God's face. And He is going to strip them naked and destroy and kill them with judgments that are going to be awe-striking. That is the most evil and abominable thing that could happen, to merchandise the body parts of the innocent abortion victims. Even Adolf Hitler did not do that. And look at what God did to him and the German people. Think on that. Let's read on. Verse 5, they've also built the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings to Baal. Oh, wasn't that a wonderful sacrilegious service? You know, we see it right here in the Western Hemisphere too, right in Central America. Yes, indeed. The native people that were there, the Mayas and the Aztecs, were Satan worshippers. and offered their children and offered others, because Satan desires death and blood and wretchedness. And what did God do to them? Destroyed them. What do you think God is going to do to us? And God says, which I never commanded nor spoke, nor did it come into my mind. So here's God's verdict. Therefore, behold, the days come, says the Lord, that this place shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the sons of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. For I will make the council of Judah and Jerusalem to come to nothing in this place, and I will cause them to fall by the sword before their enemies, and by the hands of those who seek their lives. And I will give their dead bodies to be food for the birds of the heavens and for the beast of the earth, and I will make this city a waste and a hissing. Everyone who passes by shall be astonished, and shall hiss because of all of its plagues. What do you suppose God is going to do to us as a nation, as a people? He is going to strip everything bare from the Christianity of this world because of their lies. And 41% of the women who have abortions say they're Christian. If you think we have difficult times now, just wait. The cliffs of disaster are a very treacherous precipice over which this nation will fall. Shall be astonished, hiss at it because of their plagues. Okay? And I will cause them to eat the flesh of their own sons, the flesh of their own daughters, and they shall each one eat the flesh of his friend in the siege and distress with which their enemies and those who seek them and their lives shall afflict them. And yes, we can and will be invaded. And yes, it is going to be desperate and evil. Question, does the world hate us now? Yes, indeed, with an implacable hatred. And who is the bloodiest enemy of all? Our relatives, Edomites, Esauites, Amalek, Ishmaelites, yes indeed, and poor Jews in Jerusalem and in Palestine called Israel. It's going to be astonishing. Verse 10, then you shall break the jar before the eyes of the men who go with you, and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, even so I will break this people and this city as one breaks a potter's vessel that cannot be made whole again, and they shall bury them in Tophet until there is no place to bury. I will do this to this place, says the Lord, and to its people, and to this city of Tophet, and the houses of Jerusalem and the houses of the kings of Judah shall be defiled as a place of Tophet because of all the houses on whose roofs they have burned incense to all the host of the heavens, and they have poured out drink offerings to other gods. And God did it! Historical fact! So do not say, it will not come here, because lo, it is coming. God's judgment is coming, and it is coming soon. Then Jeremiah came to Tophet, where God had sent him to prophesy, and he stood in the court of the Lord's house and said to all the people, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon this city and upon all its towns all the evil that I have spoken against it, because they have hardened their necks so that they might not hear my word. And how hard-hearted can you get than to sit and discuss over a meal and sipping of wine the selling of the body parts of the aborted babies? Think on that. It's an opportunity to repent. But will they? Who knows? Now let's talk a little bit about same-sex marriage. Now that infamous decision came down on June 26th. A day in infamy. And as you will read in the letter, that you will probably get before this message gets to you, that because of this decision, all Christians are going to be facing very difficult times. Nothing will be the same from that day forward. Now, it's very interesting, as you will see in the letter, that June 26, 2015, happened to be the ninth day of the fourth month on the sacred calculated Hebrew calendar. Let's see what happened on that day in Jerusalem, because God said he would do it. And who did he say he would send to do it? Nebuchadnezzar. And what did God say of Nebuchadnezzar as compared to the people of Judah and Jerusalem? Nebuchadnezzar, my servant. Now remember, Zedekiah sent for a secret meeting with Jeremiah, and Jeremiah told him what was going to happen. And Jeremiah said, God is going to destroy this city, but if you will go out and surrender to Nebuchadnezzar, he will spare the city and this place. But Hezekiah did not. We will see what happened to him. Now, Jeremiah 39, verse 1. And it came to pass when Jerusalem was taken, in the ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the tenth month, even Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army came against Jerusalem, and they besieged it. And in the 11th year, in the fourth month, on the ninth day of the month, a breach was made into the city. And all the rulers of the king of Babylon came in and sat in the middle gate. All of the generals, all the important men, they came in. Now Zedekiah, he was not willing to surrender, but he got some of his men and they were going to escape. They tried to escape by night. But the moral of the story is, when God tells you something, you cannot run away from God. So he was captured by the Babylonian soldiers, the Chaldeans. And he was brought face to face with Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar killed his sons and gouged out the eyes of Zedekiah and sent him in chains to Babylon. That's what happened to him. But notice, this month, the ninth day of the fourth month, and in our time, that was June 26th, 2015. Now granted, the enemy has not conquered us as it is here, but this is a warning to us that the Constitution is going to be destroyed. Now let's talk a little lesson here about what's happened in Oklahoma, Oklahoma City. They had 10 commandments, just like the one that was approved by the Supreme Court that were in Texas, right there. Now, Oklahoma, they're perhaps the most Protestant of all, the most religious, claiming on God and Jesus and all of this. And the Supreme Court of Oklahoma ruled 7-2 that should not be there. And right in front of it is the goat statue to Satan the devil. And what does this tell us? This tells us God is going to strip Protestantism of everything. I'll have more to say on that next week. But this day that they voted 5-4 for same-sex marriage on the ninth day of the fourth month has signaled the destruction of Christianity in this nation, the Orthodox Christianity. And the Protestant church we are going to see next week will disappear with hardly a whimper. Now here's what Mike Huckabee said of this ruling. The legalization of same-sex marriage will lead to the criminalization of Christianity. You will find that in the letter that you're going to receive. And they're already busy doing it. Okay? Governor Bobby Jindal said that this decision will pave the way for an all-out assault against religious freedom rights of Christians. Scott Walker said the only alternative left for the American people is to support an amendment to the U.S. Constitution. Now, I want to tell you something very important. You can see why you cannot solve this by political means. Because unless there is a mass repentance, and I've already given a sermon calling on the whole nation to repent, so I'm going to reinforce that and say, yes, that's the only thing that will happen. And they are setting out to come against all Christianity with an implacable hatred. And it's coming. Now, here's what Rod Dreher of the American Conservative Movement has said. We have to accept that we are really living in a culturally post-Christian nation. The fundamental norms Christianity has long been able to depend on no longer exist. There will be no popular widespread resistance to this decision. And you will see in the letter their plans for what they're going to do to Christians. Now then, we also need to look at the condition of the churches of God. There needs to be repentance there. Let's come back here to Revelation 3. Let's see what God tells the church. We cannot go as we have always been. We must be more diligent. We must be more zealous. We must be yielding to God in every way, asking God for his love, his truth, his grace, his spirit, strength in being able to understand the problems and difficulties we are going through, strength to be able to stand for the truth even in spite of threats, and to be able to stand for the truth. Now here is what Jesus tells the end-time church called the Laodiceans. So let's come to Revelation 3, verse 14, and let's read it. Just as God has a message for Israel and Judah today, God has a message for his church today. And we need to really take it to heart. And we really need to come to God in Christ the way we need to. And we need to quit playing little social club on the Sabbath. And we need to really begin having our hearts and our minds cleansed. Verse 14, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginner of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were either cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and are neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. That has already happened. Look at what happened to the biggest church of God in the history of the world. It is gone. So then, because you are lukewarm and are neither cold nor hot, I'll spew you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. And you do not understand that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. How do we stand before God? Well, everyone that comes before God is laid bare, as Hebrews the 4th chapter tells us. So here's a message from Jesus. Thus says Jesus Christ, just like it was, thus says the Lord to Jeremiah, I counsel you to buy from me gold purified in the fire, and the fire of tribulation is at hand, so that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, so that you may see. as many as I love. God the Father loves you. Jesus Christ loves you. They want us in the kingdom of God with them. That's why we have been called. That's why he says he is correcting us. Many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Now then, concerning our personal relationship with God. And the greatest grace have been given to us that we can pray directly to God the Father in heaven above. Have his Spirit within our minds. His Word within our hearts. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. How much of God's Spirit do you have? Christ wants to give you more. He's knocking at the door. Will we answer? Will we hear? Will we do what is right? Notice, he says, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. But we have to hear his voice. We have to open the door of our minds and the door of our hearts and let Christ come in. Then he says, and there's hope, verse 21. To the one who overcomes will I give authority to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. The one who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So, brethren, from June 26, 2015, the ninth day of the fourth month, the church and this nation will never be the same again. And we are going to face so many difficult things that we need to be fortified with God's Spirit. We need the protection of God's angels. We need the mindset of Jesus Christ because it will never be the same from that day forward. So let's hope that out of this, God can call some people. Out of this, we can repent and return to God. Out of this, we can be more dedicated and zealous and diligent to God than ever before. So this is the day of infamy for this nation, not Pearl Harbor. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.